Morning, everybody. Good week, good thought. Sunday morning, here we are at the very end of the Simon Nun base in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look today at the final Sa'if, final paragraph of Simon Nun base. So, you know, we've looked in this Simon mainly at different types of fruit, vegetables, pre-Aid, Adama, which have changed in some form from their original state, and do or don't retain their original growth. And now I'm going to look at two particular examples of this type of scenario, which actually spark off interesting discussions, interesting lighter points. So let's first read what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has to say. So point one, al hasukkah on sugar. What bracha does one make on sugar? This isn't so practical, because generally we have sugar not on its own, but mixed in with something else as a topping or as a secondary item to something else. So it doesn't usually occur that we're going to make a bracha directly on sugar. Can be made where the main ingredient is sugar, so then this occurs, yes. And equally so, somebody who decides for some reason or other to have a little taste of a sprinkling of sugar on his finger, on a spoon, what's the bracha? Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Shahakur. Okay, so there you go, simple, straightforward candy. Probably better for you than the candy that's around now. But hey, now point two, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Hamotzeis Kamin Mesukkos. Somebody who sucks a type of sweet branch. The branch itself has a sweet taste, and one takes hold of it, and it's always pastime or enjoyable activity to suck this branch, charcoal.
Sugar cane.
He means the sugar cane, yeah. To actually suck the sugar cane itself, it seems to be quite a dumb thing in the times of the place, and they all talk about it. So to suck the actual sugar cane itself, charcoal. But hey, similarly, other examples of taking hold of a branch, something effectively inedible, but it has a certain enjoyable taste which one sucks out. Simarin, which is cinnamon, the licorice. And licorice, shekhoitislim, which one chews, who boil in rakatam, and you swallow just the taste, who pulls in or ikka, and one spits out the main part of it. The mocking shaka. So on this too, the brother is shaka. But I'd like to begin by going back over the first part of this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Sugar, he says, is charcoal. So, if we give a little thought to where sugar comes from, we'll try to understand a little further the background of this stuff. So, we know there's two main methods of making sugar. The basic principle in both of them is the same. You take a particular, I think, you know, very, very simply, obviously it's a much more involved process, but the simple outline, I think, is that there's some sort of plant, either sugar cane or sugar beet, which has some sort of sweetness within it. You boil it up, the sweet palm goes out into the water. At some stage, the water is evaporated, and you're left with white crystals. It's something similar to salt, little crystals, little granules, and there you have sugar. So, although the bottom line is that the sugar is charcoal, actually it's a discussion, a great discussion among the poskim. It begins in the Rishonim. I don't know how far back the consumption of sugar goes, but it's discussed already in the earlier Rishonim. I don't know if it's similar to our sugar. They discuss something called Kinei Sukkah, sticks of sugar, which appear to have come from a type of tree. There's even a star that one would make on them for eight. So some say for eight, some say for adoma, some say shahako. Now, the reasoning of those who say that on the sugar itself, they say to say for eight or for adoma. Even though the sugar is very far removed from the original product on the tree. And we've learned that generally, when one changes something to the extent that it's completely unrecognizable, generally, in most cases, it loses its original bracha and becomes charcoal. However, the logic of those who said over here to make on sugar, the type of sugar that they had, either or eight or hardomo, was because they said that this plant is planted originally outside the hockey for the dark of transforming into this, and this is its main usage. So like we know, there is this exception to the general rule that when something changes and loses its brother, the main classic exception is something where this is its main end product and it was planted originally with this in mind. So they claim, based on the basis of this, that sugar, you don't do anything else with this plant, it's planted for this, and this is its main usage. So it should retain the original brother that it had when it was on the tree. What is the logic of those who say, no, nevertheless, over here it's charcoal, despite the fact that it was planted originally for this, and this is its main usage? So the Bi'ur HaLacha explains that their logic is that these sugar canes, which they spoke about, it's a stick, essentially, it's entirely inedible in itself. It's only edible when you transform it to this sugar. So they say, it's because we can hear the logic and it's very strongly, that the only reason you make ha'eitz or ha'adomah, you retain the original bracha on something which is intended to use in this fashion, is when the original item itself was edible and would have been pre-ha'adomah, pre-ha'eitz if you ate it that way. Then we say, even if you change it, since that was intended in advance, and that's the usual thing to do, it retains the bracha. But something where the raw substance couldn't have been bo priyadama because it's inedible. So you cannot say, well, we retain the original bracha because the original thing didn't have the chashivus to make bo priyadama.
Can I come to first principle again? Edible must be by humans, or even by
animals. Yeah, no, like we're talking about human consumption. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're talking about human consumption, that's the case there. So that's the reasoning of those who say that we make charcoal, and that's how the halacha is done. But then the halacha turns this to an interesting point of view. He says, this line of reasoning is very fine and good for the type of sugar that the Rishonim spoke about. They describe some sort of thing which they call kenei sukkar, sticks of sugar, which appears to have grown on some sort of tree. And the stick, surely, as we said, the stick of itself isn't fitting to eat at all. So they have this logic that even though you planted it outside the hockey, the end product will still be charcoal because the original product was in it. So to be our locker, that's fine for their sugar. But now we have a sugar which he describes as growing from some he calls it some type of vegetable, loosely. I think.
Sugar is made from vegetables.
Sugar, that's what we call sugar beet. Right. That's how I understand it. Sugar beet is made from some type of vegetable. I don't know. Most people would want to eat it, but.
It's not beet.
No,
it's only sugar.
People don't eat it, like that. There are a lot of things to consider that it could be edible. If one wish to eat it, one probably could. It's not a stick. So why there? Over there, says the Bi'alaka, we lose this reasoning that the original item was entirely inedible. Had you wished to eat it, you would probably have made on it for 3 hours, not like a stick. So why over there, or is it true, asks the Bi'alaka, over there, to say that the final sugar is going to be charcoal? Maybe it should be a hardomah. In line with the principle that it began with something edible, and it is planted as either the hockey, and most people do this, so it's not that type of change that it loses this brach. On the contrary, this type of change retains the original brach. So the Bi'alaka comes to the conclusion that nevertheless it's shapo. I wonder for the logic that Mr. Goffman is probably going to say that.
You know, it's not enough for me to choose this garden.
Okay.
And then, by the leaky way, they make from this orange juice. This taste of orange juice and taste of this chocolate when I can eat it, nothing to do with the sugar. When I eat sugar, I make bracha on sugar, which means taste whatever is in my mouth.
Okay, let's see.
It's nothing to do with the sugar.
So the Bi'alaka says down those roads on the spot, maybe exactly the same point you're saying, or similar to Bari, he says that We mentioned this before once we discussed chocolate. He says that this is something that has absolutely no reminder. It's so far removed. It has no reminder whatsoever of the original substance. So far changed and so far gone that over here the average principle that it was edible in the beginning, now you change it in such a fashion that it's absolutely usual and this is the done thing, over here it doesn't apply. It's so far gone that it's completely changed and it becomes charm. So that's the logic of the post-presentation. How can the learning be this how we pass? But as we mentioned, there were Rishonim who held different, who held Ha'et, who held Ha'adoma, since this change is a usual change. Now, what sort of practical ramification could this have to us? We've seen, of course, a lot of Pas and Sha'akol. If we're asking more, bring down Sha'akol, that's the problem. Nevertheless, there was Shit as well, different as well, than it's Ha'et, who held that it's Ha'adoma. So, one possible thought which passed through my mind, it will be in a situation where I'm faced with some sort of stopping problem. I can't remember if I made a bracha, I don't know if that is halachically, I need to make a bracha. So very often, the simple solution in such a scenario is to take some other food that's available, which definitely wasn't published for whatever reason, make the bracha, and I'm sorted out. Now, is it correct in such a scenario to go and take something which is usually quite convenient and easy, a few sprinkles of sugar on your finger, make a sha'akol, and then you are sorted out? Or perhaps one should say to oneself, well, listen, having learned the sutra now a little bit, it's true that the bottom line is that sugar is to make a sha'akol, but that is due to the doubt, that's due to the topic. There were other chitters, there were people who said ha'ik, there were people who said ha'adoma. So perhaps, you're just jumping from the frying pan into the fire, as we say. There's already the situation of stopping problems. I'm trying to get out of the stopping problem. So I put myself in another scenario where there's also a stopping problem. Sure, maybe it doesn't help, or it's not as viable, I'll call upon him.
Can you use a stopper to try and get out of the
stopping? Yeah, well, what's the point? I'm already in a case of stopping. So you go to something else, where in truth what you're going to do is also only matatok. So one could have had such a thought, and I did have such a thought once I learned over this video. So I was my eye a little bit to see what the first thing to say about this. So indeed, there is a Shuba of the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, who writes that it is not advisable to do this, one should avoid taking sugar in such a scenario. Nevertheless, that is not the bottom line ruling. In a number of places in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Chayei Odom, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they discuss particular scenarios of Sofer. And they say, they even had mentioned this example, they say in a obviously a convenient item in those times, take yourself a little bit of sugar, make a sha'akol, and you're sorted out. And they don't appear to be concerned about these chitters who are held for eight and hard on. So let's add, even though, just to make it a little sharper, even though in the halachos of the bracha on sugar, when one had sugar itself, to be halacha right, to be edit, if you made ha'adoma, if you took sugar and made ha'adoma, you're yoytzeh. To be edit ha'adoma, you're yoytzeh. So he doesn't take into account and into consideration these other shifts. To be edit, you made ha'adoma, you're yoytzeh. Nevertheless, he doesn't appear, it appears to me that we don't consider it a significant enough topic to say, oh, don't get yourself involved in this. The standard halacha is that it's sha'akol, and it's decided with enough certainty up to the fact that if I'm now in a situation of suffering, that is the advised item. Don't take some sugar, make sha'akol, and get yourself out of the funk. So just to sum up, we've had this tapoiskim, what bracha is meant to be on sugar. The bottom line is that it's sha'akol, and it's decided to the extent that if we have a topic, we can take hold of sugar, make sha'akol, and get ourselves out of the topic. Nevertheless, with the evidence, some of you who would have made our dough on sugar, I think it's a bit unlikely to come to that mistake, but if you would, you would be unsafe for the evidence. Now let's focus a little bit for a couple of minutes on the end part of this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch told us that some of you who take hold of these sugar canes and suck out the sweet tongue from the actual stick, from the actual branch itself, so the branch is inedible, and it sucks out the taste, the sweet taste which is in there. Or similarly, other similar shalim other similar examples. He said a stick of cinnamon, a stick of licorice, where the stick itself is inedible, and people take hold of the stick and suck out the sweet palm, the bracha is shaka. So what comes out from here, very important lamaita, is that we see something which might not have been possible to us at first. They're simply sucking out non-tangible palm, also requires a bracha. It requires a bracha, and there is a bracha, and the bracha is shaka.
Why are
they
non-tangible?
Yes, think really when you suck it, you won't ever be able to.
You can't accumulate it.
Yeah, you don't arrive at any sort of, oh, I've got now, I suck it, oh, I've got now a nice sort of mouthful of sugar juice, and I swallow it. It isn't like that. You just suck out the top and Rega Kamebu, as we say, in that same second is gone. It's true that you can obtain a juice from it by cooking it or by other methods. But as you consume it in this fashion, there's nothing really there.
But what's the difference of starting this and starting ice cream? Children would like to suck ice cream or candy. When they're starting candy, they should say bracha. Not chewing candy, but starting this candy is
even if you go to bracha.
Yeah, but you have to say bracha.
Yeah, I think in this case it's true you have to say bracha. Here also you have to say bracha.
So,
but this, to me, this is more of a pitch. Why? When you suck a candy, let's say a boiled sweet, right? When you suck it, after 5 minutes of sucking it, it's gone. Right? So you're clearly consuming the actual item. You're consuming the actual sweet. Here you're not consuming the actual item. You've got a stick. In 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in 20 minutes, that stick will still be there.
Not going anywhere.
You're not going to feel anything.
No, it's a hard stick.
Again, you're not going to feel anything.
This is like, I'll tell you the most. I will come to the mic and I'll send you one.
No taste coming up.
Right, exactly.
True.
After 7 days.
But the actual item which appears in the negative enable, you don't eat. It's still here. That's my idea.
But
the carb is gone, you're right. The carb is gone. The stick is still here.
But I think that this carb is not staying forever. And I'm drinking, still carb will be empty. So what is. I'm not eating stick.
Right, and so when you make the point,
milk is like a butter.
At the point that you make the bracha, well, you have a cup, so you have a cup, and you have inside the cup coffee.
Right.
Right?
But, then stick.
But you don't, we don't perceive it, we don't see it. The ene bottle was on, you have a stick.
I'll tell you the muscle I'm getting at.
The muscle is chewing gum. Chewing gum is a piece of gum. And that gum is inedible. And you don't swallow it, and it's bad for you to swallow it. And after 10 minutes, we know what happens to it. People spit it out, hopefully they spit it out in the right place. Not in the wrong place where we get our shoes caught in it, and whatever. And all you eat from it is the tongue. All you eat from it is the tongue. Nevertheless, this point we learn from this halacha here. That on the tongue itself, you make shakon nebidmor. And I'll tell you why it's a point of chidush. Because if we'll go back over some of the things that we learned when we began the Hilchos Brachos, one of the things we learned about is that when you make the bracha, you're not allowed to be mafsi between the bracha and the beginning of eating. So let's say you're making a mocha and it's tala. It can't be mafsi in the end of the bracha, the beginning of eating. What the tala is about. Now, at what point can you be mafsi? What is called the beginning of the eating that you can be mafsi? So most points can say that it's only called the beginning of the eating when you have swallowed it. Not when you suck out tala. You can have a piece of colour in your mouth, you can already have swallowed a little of the taste of the colour, but you haven't swallowed an actual piece of colour. And most poskim are saying, although it remains a topic at the bottom line, but many poskim, right, that it's only called the beginning of eating when you have swallowed it, not when you just suck out the tongue. And therefore they're saying, don't be mastic until after you have swallowed a little bit of colour. In other words, that is giving us the impression that there is no bracha just on swallowing tongue. The way to resolve this issue is that there's a difference between eating colour where the main purpose of the eating is to swallow it. So there, the bracha is on the swallowing of the talis. And indeed, that type of eating, where the swallowing of the talis is just a very, very secondary and non-important part of it, over there, the bracha only kicks in, only takes hold when you have swallowed the talis. Over here, with our chewing gum or chewing stick or whatever it is, where the main thrust, the main purpose of the eating, this is the eating, is to swallow the flavor, and there's no other part of it. Over there, the bracha is on the swallowing of the flavor, and indeed it requires the bracha, and taka the bracha on chewing gum if it has a taste, and it's shah for it.
Yes.
I think all chewing gum has a taste. I've never heard of chewing gum without a taste. I don't know what would be the point of it.
So you have to at least wait a few minutes for your gift.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes just a second. I don't think it's, I'm sure.
But maybe
I'm not a great, you know, property in chewing gum, the magnet, but.
Maybe in chewing gum.